we remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My name is Lawrence Clare, and I'm a trainee minister here at KPC. A special welcome to you if you're visiting this morning. It's really good to have you with us. If you'd like to, please do fill out the visitor slip on the notice sheet and drop it in the box up the back. We'd love to hear from you. Also on the notice sheet, next to the reading, is a simple outline of what I'm going to say this morning. So please have a look at that, and hopefully that'll help us to work through the passage together. So, to start with, have you ever been let down by something or someone? Have you ever had great expectations that were shattered? Maybe it was a job that you thought that would be fantastic. Or maybe a friend who you were sure would come through for you. Have you ever been let down, crushed, disappointed? Well, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, that's exactly how the disciples felt. They were crushed. They were shattered. Their hopes and dreams were broken. How could he be dead? They thought he was the Christ, the Messiah, the coming King. He had said so himself. He was supposed to overthrow the Romans and reign over Israel. The words of God's promise to David 1,000 years ago were etched in their mind. It was the hope that had been driving them. God had said to David, "When your days are over and when you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." What a promise. A king in the line of David, a king who will reign forever. And they thought they had found this king. The disciples thought that this king was Jesus. He was meant to restore God's people and rule forever. How could he be dead? He had performed amazing signs and wonders. He had healed the sick, he had cast out demons, he had calmed the storm, and he had taught with authority. He had put the teachers of the law in their place with his amazing knowledge of the scriptures. It's almost as if he had written them himself. Everything he did said he was the Messiah, the everlasting King. How could he be dead? The events of the last week were swirling around in the disciples' heads. He came into Jerusalem with such fanfare. The crowds welcomed him as king. But he was betrayed to the chief priests by Judas. He was arrested, and when they took him before Pilate, he didn't even talk back. They crucified him with two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. He didn't even try to save himself. They thought he was the Christ, the Messiah, the King. He was meant to rule forever. How could he be dead? The disciples did well to remember God's promise to David. They did well to remember God's promise of an eternal king who would rule Israel. What they hadn't remembered, however, was David's prayer in Psalm 16. After hearing God's promise of the eternal King, the Holy Spirit led David to pray these words. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Through the Holy Spirit, David saw the resurrection. He saw what would happen to the Holy One, the King. David saw that God would not abandon him to the grave. David saw that God would raise him to life again, making him the risen King. So as we continue to read Mark's Gospel this morning, I hope you will see Jesus as the risen King, the King of God's people, the King over the whole world, the King that calls us to follow him. If you're a Christian, then I hope you'll be encouraged to continue to follow King Jesus. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I hope you will be challenged. I hope you will be challenged by the resurrection of Jesus, challenged to think about acknowledging Jesus as your King. Returning to the disciples, they were so shocked by what was happening, so crushed, so shattered, that they fled. They couldn't bear to be close as Jesus died. Maybe they watched from the edge of the crowd. Maybe they went home, not willing to see their King be mocked, ridiculed, and crucified. And so, with the disciples having fled, Mark continues his gospel from the perspective of the women. These women had been travelling with Jesus and helping to take care of him. Mark specifically mentions Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, they were watching from a distance. I can only imagine that they were just as confused, just as devastated as the disciples. How could this happen? How could he be dead? In shock, they watched as Joseph of Arimathea pulled down Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen cloth. Joseph then placed the body in a tomb cut out of rock, and he rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. The women who were watching saw where he was laid. The next day was the Sabbath, so the women had to rest. I wonder what that felt like, being filled with such grief and disappointment and not being able to do anything. They had just watched their King be brutally crucified, and all they could do was sit at home and rest. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm disappointed, whenever I'm sad, it's better to be doing something. But all the women could do was sit at home and rest. So when Sunday came, I expect they were really glad to be able to get up and do something. They woke up really early and went to anoint Jesus' body. Death is the end, right? All they can do now to show their love for their Saviour is to take care of his body. So they prepared the spices. And as they were walking to this tomb, they remembered the stone which had been rolled in the entrance. Who will roll the stone away? They asked. Another challenge, another setback. After the long wait of the Sabbath, they were finally on their way to show their love for Jesus. Will they be thwarted by the stone? But when they arrive at the tomb, they find the stone already rolled away. So they enter the tomb and see a young man dressed in white. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." He has risen. Mark records it so simply, so matter of fact. "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified," the angel said. "He has risen. He is not here. He is not in the tomb." The women, they had seen Joseph place Jesus' body in the tomb. They had seen Jesus' body lying there. The angel says, "Look, look now, look for yourself. Jesus' body is not there. He is risen. This is not some sort of spiritual resurrection. This is true bodily resurrection. Jesus has risen." Now, you may be thinking to me, "But you can't prove that. You can't prove to me that Jesus rose from the dead. That's scientifically impossible." Our postmodern secular society wants proof, logical, scientific proof. But I want to suggest this morning that that's the wrong question to be asking. I suggest that The case for the resurrection of Jesus is not a scientific question, but a historical question. The case for the resurrection of Jesus is not about scientific truth, but historical evidence. Ancient historian John Dixon writes that virtually nothing from the past can be proven in any scientific, mathematical sense. I can't prove to you what I did yesterday or last week. But by looking at historical sources, looking at historical evidence, we can draw reasonable conclusions about what has happened. We can draw conclusions beyond reasonable doubt about what has taken place in the past. The question to be asking about the resurrection of Jesus is not, can you prove it scientifically? The question to be asking is the historical evidence reliable? And the answer to that question is yes. The historical evidence behind the New Testament and its account of the resurrection of Jesus is reliable. We don't have time to go into all the detail, but given where we're reading Mark's Gospel, it's helpful to know a couple of things. There's general agreement that Mark was the first Gospel to be written, definitely by about AD 75. And it's based on the Apostle Peter's teaching about Jesus. We can trust the New Testament. We can trust Mark when he says that Jesus rose from the dead. The women entered the tomb and the angel says to them, "You are looking for Jesus. He is not here. He has risen." The angel continued to the women, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Through the words of the angel, Mark is reminding us what Jesus told the disciples back in chapter 14. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Jesus foretold his resurrection. He told his disciples that he would rise again and that afterwards he would meet them in Galilee. And this wasn't the first time he had talked about his resurrection. In fact, it's actually the fourth time in Mark. In chapter 8, 31, chapter 9, verse 31, and chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, Jesus told them what would happen to him, that he would suffer, be betrayed, die, and rise again. The disciples didn't see it, the women didn't see it, but everything that happened to Jesus was according to plan. Everything that happened to Jesus was according to plan. He suffered and died to take our punishment for rejecting God so that we can be forgiven. He didn't save himself when he was hanging on the cross so he could save us. Jesus, the perfectly innocent Son of God, became like a God-forsaken sinner so that sinners like you and me can be forgiven. And then he rose again, showing us that he is the King of God's people, the King of this whole world. Remember David's words from Psalm 16, which we read at the start? David said, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay." David as well foretold that the Holy One, the promised King, would not be abandoned to death. David foretold that the Holy One would not see decay. The resurrection shows us that Jesus is the Holy One. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised King, and his resurrection proves it. Now, you might be thinking, it sure doesn't look like Jesus is King. Look at all the suffering in this world. Look at all the injustice in this world. Look at all the persecution. How can I say that Jesus is King? Well, he is King, but his rule is challenged right now. There are people, many people, who reject Jesus as King and don't submit to his will. There are people who reject his authority in this world and in their life. Rejecting Jesus as king, it's kind of like me rejecting Malcolm Turnbull as PM. I can live my life pretending that Malcolm isn't the PM, but that doesn't change reality. I can tell lots and lots of people that Malcolm isn't the PM, but that doesn't change the fact that he is. Malcolm Turnbull is the PM, at least until the next election. And it's similar with Jesus as king, except there's no election. Many people choose to ignore Jesus as king. They live their lives pretending he's not king. But that doesn't change the facts. Don't let that confuse you. Jesus is the risen king. His resurrection proves it. And a day will come when he will no longer tolerate those who reject him. The day will come when his rule will no longer be challenged. A day will come when as king he will judge the world. And all who reject him as king, all who don't live the way he calls us to live, will be justly punished. Everything that happened to Jesus was just as he told them. His suffering, his death, and his resurrection. The angel told the women to go to his disciples and tell them that Jesus has risen, just as he told them. And so what did the women do? Well, verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The women fled. They had no idea what was going on. They were not expecting this one bit. They were completely confused at what they were being told. It made no sense to them. And so they were afraid. They had no idea what was happening, so they fled in fear. But we are different to the women. We do know what's going on. We can see God's promise to David of the everlasting king. We can see David's words that the Holy One would not be abandoned to the grave. We can see Jesus' words to his disciples that he would suffer, die, and rise again. How could he be dead? It was all part of the plan to make us God's people. How could he let himself be crucified? He died to take our punishment so that we could be forgiven. Wasn't he meant to be God's people? Wasn't he meant to be king of God's people? Well, yes. He didn't stay dead. God brought him back to life, making him king of God's people, making him king of the whole world. Unlike the women, we can see what's happening. We don't need to be confused or afraid. So the question is, what will we do? Will we acknowledge Jesus as God's king over this world? Or will we ignore him, pretending that he isn't king? What will you do? Will you acknowledge for Jesus? Will you acknowledge Jesus for who he is? Risen king over the whole world? Will you submit to King Jesus? Or will you continue to defy him? Will you continue to ignore him? Will you continue to try to be your own king? I hope that today you can see Jesus for who he is. The risen king, God's king over the whole world. He calls you to follow him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead, showing him to be the Christ, the Messiah, the King of this world. Help us to acknowledge Jesus as King of our lives. Help us to follow him, to serve him, to live the way that he has called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.